Chapter 3. Faithful through the fire. Daniel, chapter 3, verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura, in the province of Babylon. The king was so amazed when Daniel explained his first dream to him, as we read in chapter 2, that he began to reverence God. But, unfortunately, he backslid, as we say. His heart was not yet truly converted. Pride took over again, and he began to worship idols with even more zeal. The king now determined that he should try to improve on the image which God had shown him in his dream. He was not content to be only the head of gold. He didn't like the idea of any other empires to succeed his. Now he decided to make an image completely of gold to express the idea that his empire of Babylon should stand forever. In this way, Nebuchadnezzar's pride led him to fight against God. The king's counselors agreed with him. Great patriotism. They wished the people to forget Daniel's interpretation of the dream. The lesson God taught the people was to be twisted in order to teach a lie. This was another chapter, now in the story of the great controversy between Christ and Satan. But Daniel was still alive, with his three faithful companions. They doubtless met together often for prayer. We can be sure they prayed for God to step in and overrule for the good of the gospel. The Lord must not forsake the empire, while they kept on praying. The people of Babylon had never seen anything so magnificent as this new image all covered with gold. It is not necessary to assume that it was of solid gold. That would have been extremely expensive, although gold was plentiful in Babylonian times. The image could simply have been covered with gold leaf. Nor must we assume that the image itself was 60 cubits, about 18 meters high. There may have been a tall pedestal on which the image stood. Archaeologists think they have identified the plain of Dura, with Tulal Dura, some 6 miles south of where old Babylon stood in what is now modern Iraq. Daniel, chapter 3, verses 2-7. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, sent to gather together the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces, to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set up. Then the princes, the governors, and captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces, were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then an herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up, and whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace." Therefore at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages, fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. A burning fiery furnace like this was not an unusual punishment for criminals in Babylonian times. Jeremiah tells how two false prophets, Ahab and Zedekiah, were roasted in the fire by the king of Babylon. The Code of Hammurabi provides for this punishment. As late as 1671-77, the French traveler Chardin saw two furnaces of fire in Persia kept burning for the punishment of shopkeepers who overcharged for food. We may be sure that the angels of heaven were watching this contest. Through King Nebuchadnezzar, Satan was trying to overthrow the truth. The same battle is being fought in the world today. In the Holy Scriptures, Babylon is a symbol of the confusion in the religious world of these last days, organized to oppose the truth by trying to force the consciences of people. These events will be repeated in various ways in the future, before God sets up His everlasting kingdom. We are all preparing to act a part in that great struggle. Notice how King Nebuchadnezzar tried to strengthen his worship of idols by the law of the land. This again was iron mixing with miry clay, the union of religion and the state. But no worship of God can be dictated by earthly law. Every individual must be free to worship God as his own conscience tells him is the right way. Further, no one who worships God sincerely can harm his neighbor. Any kind of worship which is enforced by law inevitably becomes an evil thing, because God cannot accept such forced worship. Punishment is always threatened by authorities for those who refuse to obey. Thus, immediately, freedom of choice is taken away. God will accept only the free will worship of His creatures. Any forced worship therefore becomes a kind of idolatry. In this great crowd, only these three Hebrews appear to have understood this principle clearly. Daniel, for some reason, was absent, probably on some government business. The three were required to come, because the king had called them. They obeyed as far as they could. But they knew that to bow down and worship the image would be to deny their loyalty to Christ. This they could not and would not do. How do we know that, to obey the king, would mean disloyalty to Christ? Was he nearby? Hang on, you'll meet him in the story shortly. As soon as the Babylonian Philharmonic Symphony Orchestra struck up the bars of national anthem, everybody was to bow before the golden image. The plan of the king should work smoothly. But these three had planned their response in advance. Through a mature grasp of the principles of righteousness by faith, they knew that this confrontation would put the principles of God's government on trial. Amazing as it may seem, these young men had a more mature understanding of the gospel than many have today. Their concern or motivation was not with their own safety. They had graduated out of the egocentric class of Christian experience, where our prayers are for our own salvation. They were concerned for the honor and integrity of Christ. They would have found it impossible to fake a supposed compliance, while their heart was not in it, to satisfy a sick, lukewarm or Laodicean conscience. No way could they have knelt down to tie their shoelaces, for example. Their hearts were reconciled to God by the blood of Christ. Theirs was a by-faith experience, which is why they belong in that lustrous list in Hebrews 11. Daniel, chapter 3, verses 8-12, wherefore at that time certain Chaldeans came near, and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree, that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the golden image, and whoso falleth not down and worshippeth, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee, they serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Because these Chaldean teachers had been humiliated by the truth of God, when Daniel revealed the king's dream, they were now jealous of these Hebrews. They could see that it was impossible to disprove the truth of the Hebrews' faith in the true God. Since the Chaldeans were dishonest cowards, they encouraged the king to make an intolerant law, that by this means they might rid the Babylonian Empire of those who differed from them in faith. Any religion that desires to lean upon worldly laws, in order to support it, shows that it is weak and false. Earthly rulers must give their subjects freedom in religious matters. Daniel, chapter 3, verses 13-18. Then Nebuchadnezzar in his rage and fury commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready that at what time ye hear the sound of cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hands, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Surely it takes courage to stand alone before a crowd of people like this. Now the three stand face to face with death. Shall they compromise their faith? Shall they be afraid of the fiery furnace? Shall they fear the king's anger? Although they cannot in their hearts really worship the image, can they not appear to others to comply? No. These men are not cowards. They know what is right, and they are not afraid to die for it. They have already considered what to do, and they have already prayed about it. They know that if God is God, he must be worshipped with the whole heart. They remember the promise God made to the prophet Isaiah many years before, When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. They do not tremble. While they are courteous and respectful, they answer the king family that they cannot and they will not worship his image. Let us notice especially the good example of these three young men, in showing respect and honor to the powers that be. God's word tells us that we should be subject to the higher powers. For there is no power but of God, the powers that be are ordained of God. We should be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. But when the laws of men conflict with the law of God, then our duty is to obey God. When Peter was commanded by the Jewish council not to preach in the name of Jesus, he replied, Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. We ought to obey God rather than men. This is the stand the three Hebrews take on the plain of Dura. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego have come to this meeting because they were called. They can show their willingness to obey the king as far as possible. But to fall down and worship his image, to deny what they know as truth, to defile their conscience before God, to transgress the clear commandment of God, in order to save their jobs, their wealth, their worldly honor, and their lives, to join Judas Iscariot, in betraying the Son of God, this they will not do. They tell the king in a nice way, There is no need to give us a second trial. We know what is right. Daniel, chapter 3, verses 19-23, Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake, and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. It may surprise modern readers that an empire ruler could be so childishly immature in losing his temper. But remember, this was the age of pagan tyrants. The very fact that Nebuchadnezzar became so angry is proof that he was doing the wrong thing. Although he had subdued the whole world with his sword, he could not rule his own spirit. Even his face was changed, contorted to a demon-like image. It was foolish of him to heat the furnace hotter than usual, because this only served to make more evident the great power of the Lord to deliver his three servants. But again the dear Lord overruled. He takes notice of what happens on this earth. Daniel, chapter 3, verses 24 and 25. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and rose up in haste, and spake, and said unto his counselors, Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, True, O king. He answered and said, Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. See how the wrath of man is made to praise the Lord. Someone stronger than the king takes charge of the situation. God's promises to his servants are faithfully fulfilled. How did that heathen king know what the Son of God looked like? God's people in Old Testament times looked forward to the coming of Christ, while we look back to his first coming. Alike, we all see him by faith. No one has ever been saved except by the power of Christ. The Hebrews had preached in Babylon of Christ, the Redeemer to come. The king remembered their teaching, and from their message recognized the Son of God when he saw him. Incidentally, they seem in no hurry to come out of the fire. God provides air conditioning, where, and when it is needed. They will be happy to stay there, if only they can walk and talk with Christ. To be with him is sufficient reward for all the trials of earth. When we suffer for him today, we too may enjoy his presence with us in the same way. You may think this is hard to believe. But you'll know it next time you are thrown into your fiery furnace for your faith in Christ. He'll make himself preciously near to you, as ordinarily you never know him, in times of peace. Daniel, chapter 3, verses 26 to 30. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace, and spake, and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth, and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, came forth of the midst of the fire. And the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men, upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake, and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel, and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word, and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god, except their own God. Therefore I make a decree, that every people, nation, and language, which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, in the province of Babylon. Now the very thing Nebuchadnezzar has tried to prevent takes place. All nations and tribes and languages quickly hear the story of God's power. What the Chaldean teachers did, to try to prevent the preaching of the truth, results only in giving greater publicity to the truth. Many people made their decisions that day to serve the God of heaven. But not yet does Nebuchadnezzar really understand. He's a child in the heavenly kindergarten. Although he was right in making a public confession to exalt the God of heaven above all of the pagan gods, he had no right to try to force people to worship the God of heaven in this way. Is it not encouraging how these three Hebrew boys had faith and courage? Their secret is this: when they were first brought to Babylon, they refused to compromise their faith in any little particular. They knew that one compromise of evil leads to another downward step. Because of their faithfulness in enduring the smaller test, they became prepared to endure the greatest test. May God help us never to compromise in the first step, with sin, and with evil. The book of Revelation unfolds to us the story of a similar test, which some shall endure. There will be an image of the beast, which will be set up on the earth, when all living upon the earth will be commanded to give to it, either willing or unwilling worship by obedience to man-made religious laws. As in the days of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, death will be decreed for all who refuse to obey false religion. As it was on the plains of Dura, the vast majority will bow before the decrees of Satan. This test will come to you and me and to the entire world. Who will choose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season? Where are the Shadrachs, Meshachs, and Abednegos of today who are now obeying the truth from their hearts? Where are those who obey God daily in the smaller tests that come in our home life, in our school life, and in business? Who will be able to stand in that decisive day, which is yet to come? For those who have truly bowed their knees before the great God of heaven, it will not be hard to make the right choice. They cannot, will not, be afraid of any man's threats. Fellowship with Christ in his sufferings is better to them than any earthly reward could be. The most precious message of Christ's righteousness is even now preparing multitudes to stand firm for the Savior. The same God who delivered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego will work mightily for his people who stand for what is right. The one who walked with the Hebrews in the fiery furnace will be with you, wherever you go in his service. His presence will comfort you and sustain you. Satan, with a million evil angels, cannot harm even one of the weakest of God's saints.